Philippians chapter 4, we will begin at verse 10 and read through verse 20. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? And we're going to include Cindy this morning. Those of you that were here for Sunday school know that we mentioned sin. Things are not good with Cindy. They do not have her all heavily sedated anymore. Her body temperature had resumed back to normal yesterday. That was the last time any contact with Ernestine. But Cindy is not responding. You can't wake her up. There's no indication that she's hearing your voice when you try to talk to her. And now she has some highly contagious something that you have to be so careful when you go in her room. Everybody's all covered up with plastic and everything. So the Hogstons really do need our prayer. And they have committed their daughter to the Lord. And Ernestine told us, I think, maybe the last time we went to visit her in the waiting room there, that she said, during the night, she said, I just gave my daughter to the Lord and said, Lord, you can do with her whatever you please. And she said, what a peace that flooded her heart just to know that, you know, whatever God does, that's okay. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can bring ones that we are so concerned about before you. And you know the great concern our church has for Cindy, how our hearts are so heavy for Ernestine and Benny as they have in just a week and a day, things turn so suddenly, unexpectedly. And from being in such good health at the ladies' Bible study a week ago Friday to hanging in the balance of whether or not she would live or go home to glory. The heart has not been stopping like it was there at the beginning, but now her body, she just lays there. And we just pray, Lord, your will to be done, your glory to be accomplished. Our times are in your hands, and we know that you do wondrous things. You are certainly able to bring complete healing if you chose to. But Lord, we thank you that even her parents can have peace in their heart knowing that whatever you choose to do, that's going to be okay. So, Lord, we as a church family collectively bring her before you. We do thank you for the privilege that's ours to be here today, and we thank you for this brother and sister that our church has been so involved with for so many years. We thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for their desire to accomplish what you have set before them. We thank you, Lord, that they remain true to you, your word, your ways, your will. We thank you that you have sustained them through some deep valleys, even with health issues in recent years. Even this summer, the trip to the United States was questionable, wondering whether Ernesto would be able to make it. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your goodness. Just continue to keep his body healing. And we pray, Lord, that you would be preparing them for their return to Argentina next Monday. We pray, Lord, that in a very special way, you would help us as we listen to what you have put on this dear brother's heart to share with us. We pray that you would especially enable him. May we be blessed. May your spirit be present and obvious and working in each of our hearts to accomplish your will through your word in our lives. We thank you and we praise you in your name. Amen. I told our brother that I have been praying especially. You may be seated, unless you want to stand like he will. If you'd like to stand in support of him as he stands and preaches, that would be okay. You wouldn't care if they'd stand, would you, Ernesto? There you go. I tell people that all the time, and I never get anybody to come and stand. But anyway. My heart goes out to Ernesto as he comes to preach in a language that is not his native tongue. That's not easy. So I said, Ernesto, in a special way, I'm asking the Lord to give you the gift of tongues. Don't go bananas with that. I'm asking in a special way the Lord give you the gift of tongues this morning, and that the same Lord give us the gift of hearing and understanding. The Lord bless you, brother, and all glory goes to the Lord. We're anxious to hear what you have to share with us. Did you give him a wireless or no?
Yes. Yeah, I got it.
Is it turned on? It's got to have a green light on. Green means go for it.
Yeah. It's okay. Thank you, Pastor. We really are very thankful to the Lord for the privilege that we have. To serve Him with you. I'm getting old, I'm 67. I don't know what is going on, but the last couple of years, I got so emotional when I talk about my precious Savior. Or when I hear some songs, music that talks about Him, This morning I wanted to share you with some things that are important to us and to him, basically. During our life, we used to have dreams. Dreams that you wanted just to complete according to the time pass by. I want to mention the dream of my father. My father was an unbeliever. I don't came from a Christian home. But he was a good man. He used to work hard to support his family. He already loved us, and also loved my mother. But he was a man that only went to 6th grade of school. So was hard for him to have a good job. But always he was working hard. Well, one day he told us to my sister and I that he wanted for us to be somebody in this body, in this life. So he said, I'm gonna work and I'm going to pay your studies. So he wanted for us a better life that he maybe had before. So I was trying to be an agronomous engineer. I was studying for that. And was his dream. My father's dream. It became my dreams, my own dream, to be an agronomous engineer. So when at that time we were not believers. So in order to accomplish his dream and my dream, I just was thinking in the future. I draw the blueprints of my house that I want to have. I was thinking how many children I will going to have. And also, I was thinking what I was going to do in order to get money to be somebody maybe on this life. So I thought at that time that maybe after I was gonna graduate from to be an agronomous engineer and have a paper that say Ernesto Forteza, agronomous engineer, I thought that maybe I can work for an international organization, you know, like I don't know what you call here by OEA, that is an organization in Spanish, Organization States of America. I mean, it's an organization that sent people that know something to these poor countries just to teach them how to do things. So I was thinking, I was going to maybe work 7-10 years, get some green money, come back to my country, buy a piece of land, and be there. You know, just growing cows or planting trees or whatever. Was my dream. Was my father's dream. 1969, by the Lord's grace, inside me. 1971, he changed my plans. And he said, I don't want to be for you to be an agronomist engineer. I wanted to be my servant. So I went to Bible school, Bible Institute, founded by Dr. Dable. By the way, we are the second generations of the ministry of this American missionary that came into my country in 1846, serving the Lord. Well, I don't plan to talk about my dream. I don't want to talk about my dream. I want to talk about other dream, the Lord's dream. What is the Lord's dream? Do you think about it? I'm sure that you do. Because you know better. You have a good teaching, preaching of the Word of God from this pulpit. I'm sure that you know what is the Lord's dream. I want to talk about Him. I want to talk about His dream. What is His dream? Remember? When he asked the apostle and asked them, what I am? What people say I am? So Peter answered, you know, and he said, well, a prophet or whatever. And then he asked Peter and the disciples, who you say that I am? And the answer was in Matthew 16:18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because Peter said, you are the Son of God. And in this answer, he revealed what is his dream. The Bible didn't say much about it, but you can think using your imagination. God's dream, the dream of the eternal and gracious God. Before everything happened, they were thinking in that dream. And was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of God. And then, you know, talking about dream of his church in Ephesians 5:25-27, say, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot and wrinkle, or any such things, that she might be holy and without blemish. Then after, you know, he reveals his dream. He talks later about his dream. And the dream is still be the church. And for this church, that is his dream, he gave himself. He died in the Calvary cross for his church. He gave it all. He paid it all. suffered in order to accomplish his dream, his church. You have a church here, local church, Hiawatha Bible Church. It's the church that for these people locally here. Over there, 7,500 miles plain, you have Ramos Mejia Bible Baptist Church. And I was looking over there at missionaries, that you support 10 missionaries in different places. It's a church over there in these different places. But you know, it's the same church of the Lord Jesus Christ. For who he died in the Calvary cross. He is working today. He was working last year. He was working 2,000 years in his church. Because the most important for him is his church. In this passage that Pastor read it before, we have, I want to just mention four things there. The first thing is the gratitude of the Apostle Paul, verse 15 and 16. My daughter translated this message for me, and he translated using ESV version. If you don't mind, Pastor, I just write every scripture here. But in these verses, the Philippians 4 verses, these two verses 15 and 16, even in the Thessalonica, you send me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increase to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus that gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing of God. Gratitude of the Apostle Paul for the participation of the Church of Philippi in the ministry of the preaching of the gospel. It was the third time that they participated, and they did it with a great desire to accomplish God's dream. For what we can understand, were people that already knew what was the dream of their Savior. So they were sending money to the Apostle Paul, who was preaching the gospel that we will come later in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul, we are so grateful that you were sending money to this couple to preach the gospel there in Argentina. The basic religion in Argentina is Roman Catholic. The statistics say that 2% are not Roman Catholic people. And on these 2%, they include every other religion. Also, the Jehovah's Witnesses are in this 2%, and other many. So we find out that maybe less than 1% is people who really preach the gospel. And we are so grateful that many years ago, and we were there preaching the gospel. In the beginning, when we went to Argentina, we went to the northeast part of Argentina, a place, a city, the name Corrientes. And we were helping another couple that they came to this place a year before. So we joined them to preach the gospel to 200 thousands, 200,000 people there. Well, we were working with them for 4 or 5 years, and then the Lord called us to go south of Argentina. But I want to tell you that today is a church, a Bible church that is over there with their own pastor, their own building, their own people preaching the gospel. And then there are another people in other neighborhood of the same city, Corrientes. With my wife, we started to visit, and we were visiting door to door for 7 months. And then we left. Others came. And you know, today is another church over there, Bible church, preaching the gospel with their own pastor, their own people. And this church is starting another small church in another neighborhood. You were supporting this couple. We were working over there, doing what we're supposed to do, plant new churches. The Apostle Paul was so grateful to these people because they were sending their money to support and to provide the needs of the Apostle Paul when he was preaching. In this verse 16 also we have the accomplished work. They were sending the money. And you know, this was a team. The Apostle Paul plus the church in this local church in Ephesus and Philippians. So they were like a rope there, you know. The Apostle Paul was preaching far. The church was here supporting that rope. They already had a team working together in order to accomplish God's dream, establish new churches over there. And you know, the thing here is that there, with the churches like you, that support us financially. Later I'm going to talk about spiritually. But look at what the Lord, in the Lord's mind, what these people was doing. You know, the Lord was, you know, thinking about it in these verses that say, this gift that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasant to God. Look at the way that the Lord really look what people do for him. when you know you support and you support financially and spiritually. The Lord look this like a foreign order for him. He never will forget what his people is doing in order to accomplish his. And he will really appreciate it. Though everything that we have comes from him. Treasures stored in heaven. Do you know that we have a bank account in heaven? I'm sure that you do. You know. Every time that you and me give for him what we have, what the Lord let us have, you know, it's like you are putting money in your heavenly bank account. And you will never lose it. Maybe you lose the money here. Maybe when you go and leave this earth, you are going to lose everything. Anybody else is going to just take care of what you really get all of your life here on this earth. You're not going to take it with you. The only thing that you are going to take it is what you did for him. Treasures on heaven. The offering of these brethren so that the Church of Christ could be built in other places through the ministry of the Apostle Paul resulted in eternal treasures stored in the account of these believers. They were making fruits for the Lord. You know that the Lord taught us about fruit in John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The Lord chose us to bear fruit for him. Many times we lose the goal of our life. The attitude of these believers of giving so that the Church of Christ might be established in the different parts of the world gathered for them treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Our own church, local church, Ramos Bible Baptist Church, support a missionary that you saw in the pictures. In fact, we are very minded mission. So we used to have three. Now we have just one, and we are looking for another one. We are going to start to support as well as I come back there. So these people was getting treasures in heaven because they were just giving to the Apostle Paul and support the Apostle Paul. I'm sure that here the Bible talk about money, but they were supporting in prayers. That is very important, not only the support, financial support, but the important thing is also the prayer, the spiritual support. You know why we just print this type of cards, paper cards? with the information there. You know why missionaries do that? And I'm going to just tell you in a simple way and practical way that you can use that cards, prayer cards. It's nice that people or churches praying for missionaries. And I'm so glad for you because you are praying very regularly. Some of you, you know, pray, every day. But say to the people that we visit in our churches that we print this with a purpose. For people remember us and pray for us. So I say, considering a practical way to use it. Because this is for you to use it. As far as we are also. Put your display card in your refrigerator. I ask a question for you. How many times do you go to your refrigerator? It's funny. Because you know that you go many times. Some churches, not you maybe, but some churches, they pray for missionaries one Sunday a month. Or maybe four Wednesdays a month. It's nice. But you know, missionaries is like your refrigerator and like you. If I tell you, go to your refrigerator once a week because you go there, because you have over there the food, right? But I say, go to your refrigerator once a week. You will say, give me a break, please. Just one a week? Just to, you know, support my body? Can you see what I'm trying to tell you? Missionaries need prayer every day and every moment. In some churches that we went, you know, they say, oh, you are a missionary, you are a hero. We are people like you. We have many troubles. Being honest with you, we were discouraged many times. Many times. We need your prayers. And you can be involved fighting for the Lord with your missionaries many times during the day. When you go there, you just post in one of your cars up there and say, Lord, I pray for these people. Give them what they need. Use them in powerful way, Lord. Give them contacts to preach the gospel to the Lord Jesus Christ. Missionaries don't only need financial support, they need prayer support. And you know what is going on today? In our churches, people don't pray. We have been in some churches that support us since 1980. They changed it today. They have many programs. But they don't have prayer time. Because they just believe that the programs are better than the prayer and the Holy Spirit's work. Pray for your missionaries. They need support, not only financially, but also, I guess it's the most important, spiritually. This church was really doing in order to accomplish the Lord's dream, what they have to do. What they have to do. The last thing that I want to just maybe mention here is in verse 19. The guarantee of God's provision for his church in Philippi. The guarantee of the Lord's provision for the church in Philippi is very interesting and important what they say here in verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The guarantee that the Lord was going to supply. This church was doing what the Lord expected for them to do. They were supporting somebody who was preaching the gospel and expanding the word of God, the great message that in the Lord Jesus Christ there is salvation, there is forgiveness. So they were supporting him in that way. And the Lord said to them, I am the guarantee that you are going to be supplied in everything that you have. The church that gives in order to build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have its own needs met. Some people think that, well, I'm not able to give much for the Lord. I'm not able to do much for the Lord. But he's able to use you. It's not what you can do for the Lord. It's what he can do through you for his glory. I learned that lesson many years ago. I want to be successful preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wanted to see many, many churches established. But was not my plant. Was not my part in the Lord's plan for him. So we were many times there with my wife. The mission said, well, if you want it, you can go far and move to go to other place. But one of our teachers say that the good time for you to go and to move is when everything is going well in the place that you are, not before. So for many things, we believe that the Lord wants us there. And we are praying for a pastor, national pastor, take care of us, take care of our place, and we continue to do other ministry in Argentina. But, you know, I really understood what is the Lord's plan for my life, is to accomplish His dream. And it's the Lord's plan for your life to accomplish His dream. His dream is His church. I'm so grateful for those behind me. I'm so grateful for this vision that I came to my country in 1846. And because of him, in the main church that he founded, we were saved. In the same Bible Institute that he founded, we were graduated, 1973. In the same mission that he founded for Uruguay, Evangelical Mission to Uruguay, we were serving until 79. And then, because his example, his preaching, we went out of Uruguay to Argentina to be a missionary, like he was. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for him. But also I'm so grateful for those who already pray for him and support him. You know, at that time, he was 1945 years old. When he applied to be a missionary because he was a pastor in the South, he applied because the Lord called him to go South America. When he applied to the mission board, they say to him that he was very old to be a missionary. So I asked myself, why? Why they told him that he was very old to be a missionary? Because in those years, churches here have the vision for missions. In those years, you know, thousands and thousands of missionaries went out different places in this world to plant the Lord Jesus Christ Church. Just few friends of him say, Fred, you go. We are going to pay for you. We are going to support you. Just few friends. It's very sad, but today this country became a mission field. No many missionaries go out. No young people want to go out. No many churches want to support missionaries anymore. Though the economy is the best one that you have here in the States. In those years they came from the 30s. It wasn't a good economy. But the churches that really love the Lord Jesus Christ sent many missionaries. We need missionaries in Argentina. And we pray the Lord that He provide us. But people is not hearing. They are losing, you know, the target of life. I'm talking about Christian people, born again Christian. What about the dream of the Lord Jesus Christ? The last verse, this is that I want to just read it for you. has to be the conclusion of this message, that maybe the Lord can use it for His glory in the life of His people. But in Revelations chapter 19, verse 6 and 9 to 9. Then I hear what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteousness, the deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." When he was in the Calvary cross, when he was dying for you and for me, he said, "It is finished." But these days, I believe he will shout, "It is accomplished. My dreams, it is accomplished. Hallelujah." Can you see you in this multitude? Because you are part of His church. I am part of His church. And He is going to present this church to Himself. He died for His church. You are part of His church. He died for you and for me. When I think that, when I thought that, I say, I will change my dreams in order to accomplish His dreams. And also, in 22, verse 12 and 13, "And the angel said to me, write this: blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God." We can see what he wants for you to do today. Everything is important many times for us. Our family, our job, it's important for us. But most important that our family and our jobs is His church. We are pilgrims on this earth. And I say, thank you, Lord, for this new day that I can be here. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege that I have, that you thought in my person to build your church during this time. And I always say to people that I preach it, this is our world. This is our time. That the Lord use us to accomplish his dream. Thank you very much for what you are doing and you are doing during all of these years. You are doing well. But I am sure, and the Lord is sure because he knows everything, that you can do better. Though there are many who really give up. You can do better. I can do better for him. Do you think that he deserves that we really accomplish his dream? Thank you.